It's the Go Gopher Podcast with Mike Grimm, episode number 113. I am Mike Grimm, voice of the Golden Gophers, and welcome back to the podcast. We're talking basketball on this week's Go Gopher Podcast, and it's a true pleasure to welcome back to the podcast one of the most knowledgeable basketball minds in Minnesota. Ryan James is a former Golden Gopher basketball manager who covers high school and college basketball in Minnesota like no other. He's with Prep Hoops as well as Gopher Illustrated, and I'm excited for you to hear his insight on the high school state tournament, the Gopher recruiting class, Minnesota in the NIT, and much more on this episode. We're talking Golden Gopher basketball. Our Go Gopher podcast is presented by alumni-owned Sunbelt Business Advisors and True North Mergers and Acquisitions. If you're a business founder planning to exit your business, start by contacting Sunbelt Business Advisors and True North Mergers and Acquisitions. Sunbelt serves more businesses up to $5 million in revenue than anyone, and True North M&A serves companies with revenues up to $150 million. Get a confidential, no-cost, no-obligation business valuation started today. Hey, make the most of your life's work. Visit sunbeltminnesota.com or tnma.com today. Affinity Plus Federal Credit Union is also one of our big sponsors here of the Go Gopher Podcast. Great products, great support, and great people. That's a banking hat trick with Affinity Plus Federal Credit Union. You can find more at affinityplus.org/gogophers. We're podcasting episode 113 from the Aquarius Home Services studio. We invite you to subscribe to the Go Gopher Podcast. It's free to do so. You can go back and listen to Go Gopher Podcasts from previous weeks. It's free. Last week, for example, we had a great conversation with Gopher women's hockey star Abby Murphy. Go back and have a listen. This episode, we're talking basketball with Ryan James from Prep Hoops. He joins me next.
I'm Clay Geary, walk-on turned scholarship wide receiver for Gopher football.
And I'm Ben Utek, U of M alumni, Super Bowl champion, and Tony Dungy Uncommon Award winner.
We understand championship culture, which is why we're part of the True North family of companies.
True North invests in only elite teams, like the champion team at Sunbelt Business Advisors, Minnesota's largest seller of companies. To learn more about True North and our diverse family of independently owned companies, visit TrueNorthEquityPartners.com.
It's episode number 113, and I'm thrilled to welcome back to the podcast Ryan James. He's been a frequent guest on the podcast over the years. He is with Prep Hoops as well as Gopher Illustrated. He has his finger on the pulse of basketball in the state of Minnesota at the high school and collegiate level especially. And Ryan, thanks so much, and welcome back to the podcast.
Excellent. I'm excited to be here and love to talk Gopher basketball.
Yeah, and also some high school basketball. As we talk right now, it's Friday afternoon, and the Gophers, one of their signed commitments in guard Isaac Asama, has just won his semifinal game at the Class A level for his school, Cherry. They'll be playing for the state championship as we talk tomorrow. It'll be a Saturday game at Williams Arena. I want to ask you about him. Grayson Grove played in the state tournament, the other Gopher signee. He's from Alexandria. I'll ask you about him as well. But just in general terms, before we get specific, how has the state tournament gone, in your opinion, for the boys here this week?
I think it's been a great tournament so far. It's had its different, you know, there's been some peaks and valleys. We had the shocker of Egan beating Park Center, and that was something that I don't think anybody expected. So you had that upset factor at that level. I think the quality of basketball that Wayzata and Cherry are playing, it may not be good, you know, close on the scoreboard, but the quality of basketball that those teams are playing is very high level. And just moments ago, Fertile Beltrami in West Central Area finished a classic. And, you know, there's been a lot of good basketball in 3A. Totino Grace, we saw an amazing Isaiah Johnson performance, and they've got run through the gauntlet. They had to go through Stewartville, which was a very odd first-round pairing, and then they had to get through De La Salle's defense. So overall, it's been an exciting tournament. We've got a chance. Gopher fans had a chance to see Grayson Grove. Was not fully 100% yet, but he definitely has had a really good tournament. And tomorrow they'll play in the third place game. So overall, it's been exciting. I think the quality of play and quality of players is what really stands out.
Yeah, and you've been following this for a long time, and it seems like every year Minnesota basketball has, you know, a bunch of really good players. I mean, we've gone through, I'm thinking this is a 14 or 15, 20-year stretch of really good players that have gone on to play high-level college basketball, and some then, of course, thinking of Tyus Jones and others, have gone on to, play at the highest of levels.
Yeah, I think the first year where it really turned was about 2006. And then there was a lull, and, you know, it was like during the Tubby Smith era. Tubby Smith's era was probably where there was a 3-4 year lull. But then after that, the Rashad Vaughn, Reed Travis, JP McCura, Tyus Jones class got it rolling again. We've been rolling here for many, many years. And the latest, I mean, I don't know that Jackson McAndrews had the same fanfare that a Chet Holmgren, Jalen Suggs, Matt Hurt, Zeke Najee, et cetera, has had, but I think he might end up being in the same area because that touch and that feel is that level.
Yeah, he's a big that can shoot from the outside for sure and be fun to watch how his career progresses. All right, so two of these kids are Minnesota bound, Gopher bound. Let's talk specific about them. You followed these guys now for a number of years and specific in this tournament. Let's talk about Isaac Asama, Cherry High School. He'll be playing with his brother and cousin, I think, on this roster as well for a state championship tomorrow. As again, we're recording here on Friday. The state title game is Saturday at the Barn, and his future home is where he hopes to win a state championship. For somebody like, I haven't really watched him, quite frankly, because there's just not a lot of access to see him. He's playing up in, you know, in the Cherry area. So tell me about him.
So Isaac is what I would call a player that makes everything easier for somebody else. I would say he's the best passer that I've seen in the last 10 years. He makes everything so much more comfortable for everybody else. And it's amazing. If you watch his AAU team, we watched him at the MBCA camp. He was just a bunch of all-star kids thrown together. And with the Cherry team, everything flows around him in a comfortable way for everybody. So shot selection for everybody is comfortable. But Isaac, what's really amazing about Isaac is this year, I remember watching last year thinking, is he going to be able to defend at this level? The next level. But then this year, he's taken on responsibilities as a defender that I never expected. He's probably the defensive player of the year, guarding posts, because at 6'3", he's probably the biggest kid on their team. So he does that. He's blocking shots of scholarship offered or scholarship signed guys for the next level. And he's been wonderful. And then he's going out and defending wings as well. I think he's going to come into the University of Minnesota being a very steady, trusted player right away. He's not going to rush his offense. He's not going to take chances defensively. He's going to be steady and use his size. He's a strong kid. He's going to, you know, use his court IQ, and he's going to make the right play. And that's what I think everybody loves about him. Kids love playing with him. Everybody that's ever loved playing with him. We're talking about Jackson McAndrew. They were on the same NBCA All-Star game. They wallop people because Isaac was putting the ball in the right spots for Jackson. So can he shoot it? He's like, this year he's had some stretches of outstanding 3-point shooting, sometimes, you know, in the a little bit lower than he would want, but over the course of his career he's been about a 38% 3-point shooter, which is positive. But again, like, you're not going to look to Isaac to be like a score shooter. You're looking at him to handle, you're looking at him to defend, but you're mostly looking at him to run an offense and make things comfortable for everybody else, plus he can score here and there.
Yeah,
you know, he got angry in an Adidas game against, I think it was Compton Magic, and dude dunked on the Compton Magic to the point where, like, Texas, Houston, I can't remember everybody, it was like, hey, calling their coaches like, hey, can we get this guy? They're like, nope, he's a go.
Well, look, you dunking on dudes from Compton, you got some courage to your game, right?
Yes. I saw it too. It was like an open floor run, and dudes kind of stepped through him, and he just lifted over the top of all of them. It was kind of fun.
Yeah. I've seen pictures, obviously. I've seen some highlights. He has a thickness. He has a strength, a toneness to his body. You mentioned he's 6'3". Is he a true then point guard? What you're describing to me seems to be that he is a true floor general then that can translate to the Big Ten.
He is, but at the same time, he's big enough and smart enough to work over to play the two. Now, I'm about to say something that is going to have people cringe, so give me a second here.
Yeah.
Like, Isaac is a true point guard, but he can also slide over to be the two, just like Wisconsin used Brad Davison. Now, I'm not comparing Brad and Isaac. What I'm saying is that's how they could use him. Although I think Isaac could play the one a lot more than Brad ever did. So that's, but then there's other things that Brad was good at too. Well, I mean, don't take that offensive to anybody that's listening or likes the Red or Maple Grove. But like you, they could use him in that way at the two at times as well. Like he's a point guard, a true point guard that is big enough and smart enough to play the two as well.
Yeah. And, you know, just looking ahead to next year, just generally here, or I guess not generally, specifically, Hawkins has said he wants to come back. He said that after the Big Ten tournament game. As we talk, of course, the Gophers still have Sunday's game in the NIT, which I'll ask you about later in the podcast. But so assuming Hawkins is back, you know, he's going to be the starter. He's now with his big assist night the other night, he's back to leading the country in assists, the number one assist man per game. So clearly he's going to be the starter next year. So how do you foresee and project Isaac Osama in terms of his role with the Gophers? Maybe because of that, he will play some two next year.
I could see him playing with Hawkins as needed. The biggest thing that he will do is give the Gophers a change of pace at point guard. You're going to go from a speedy, you know, 5'10", very talented Hawkins to a 6'3", not speedy, but like, you know, he still moves well, but not a Hawkins well, not speedy Hawkins, but to a 6'3" guy who's not quite as quick, but he's bigger and stronger, and he's going to give you a different look. So I really like it because it's a change of pace. And Elijah doesn't have to play 39, 40, 38 minutes anymore. I can't imagine you were saying Elijah Hawkins checked out, you know, much at the end of the year. Yeah. You should hear you will probably be saying that a little bit more next year with Isaac, and they could play together.
Yeah. Yeah. I think in the last seven games, he's missed it's 90 seconds talking about Hawkins in terms of, I think he was out for about a minute the other night against Butler. And then the previous five games, like 30 seconds in the Big Ten tournament, he played four straight games every minute, all 40. All right, so talking about Isaac Osama, you mentioned he makes his teammates better. I wanted to ask you about, is his brother, is he a baseball prospect? Is that right? Am I hearing that right?
He is, and I am not a baseball mind. I just like to watch it, you know? I love watching baseball and looking at stats and, you know, having a beer. But, like, I don't know much. But when people talk about Noah, they talk about his swing. And apparently, like, there's a certain type of swing that is just special. And they'd be like, oh, David Justice had the swing. And apparently Noah has the swing, whatever that means. I guess I compare it to, like, you know, you could just magically see a shooting touch that's perfect and beautiful. I guess that's what Noah has as a swing. But he also, like, today he had four threes. I watched the game in the section final. He had six. So he can get hot from the arc, too. Yeah. And – like when they're playing, you know, Noah's really strong. When they're playing, you really have to concentrate on their numbers or really know how they play because they look so alike. I mean, they're definitely, you know, they're definitely brothers because they look so similar. And sometimes you really have to focus on what you're watching to make sure you know who you're watching.
Yeah, it'll be fun to watch his career progress as well. All right, so that is our scouting report from Ryan James on Isaac Osama. Let's talk about the Alexandria kid now, Grayson Grove. And what do you see from him? And again, just because it's not Metro, and quite frankly, I don't get out to high school games all that much, nothing like you where you're seeing it all. So I've not seen much of him either. So give me a thumbnail of what his game is all about.
So when Grayson is fully healthy, which he really has not been since the state tournament last year at this time, Grayson is a stretch four who also knows how to play with his back to the basket. Right now, like, Alexandria doesn't need Grayson to play the stretch four spot. They have Chase Thompson, who's the best stretch four in the junior class. So Grayson does a lot of back to the basket stuff, but he can step out to the arc and shoot it. He's a soccer goalie. And when he is fully healthy, he moves very well laterally, especially on ball screens. I look at Grayson Grove and I think this guy is going to be a hard worker, hardworking, you know, guy who is, you know, willing to do whatever the team needs, that will also grow into a guy as an upperclassman who can give you more offensively because he does have a really nice touch and move. His his back to the basket stuff is excellent. And the best part about it is how he gets initial post position. He's also a really good defender. J2 Rock, 7-footer at Iowa State. They played an AU game in one of our prep hoops events, Battle at the Lakes. And Grayson did a phenomenal job, basically in one leg at this time, by the way. He had a broken bone in his foot when he did that. Like, and he shut down JT Rock. So, but he's a really good shooter when that's needed. But Alexandria has an army of skilled dudes. They need him, Grayson, around the block. And he had a wonderful state tournament. I think yesterday he had 17 and 10. And then I think the first game, I don't have it in front of me, but I think it was in the area of like 20. I know he had 26 points and 15 rebounds. So Grayson, a really good rebounder. Grayson's the type of worker and the type of kid that can give you versatility, you know, pretty early in his career. And he should be able to work into, you know, a starter as an upperclassman that can score for the team as well.
What was his offer list like? Who else was knocking on his door?
Well, he had all the calls from all the area schools, like the initial stuff, you know, your Wisconsin's, your Iowa's, your Iowa State's, just people just checking in, you know, seeing what he would like, what he was going to do. But I think it became really clear very early that Minnesota was going to be what he wanted to do. And they had that one locked up. You know, they offered him in the middle of his junior year, later in the junior year. It was like right around the state tournament time or right after. Then he committed about a month later.
Yeah.
So they did. And also, like, when he was AAU is when the 17U season was when they do a lot of these offers. Well, he was hurt during that time period as well. So I'm not even sure he played, but maybe a few games in the live period for them to even see.
Yeah, gotcha. All right, I want to ask you, too, because the Gophers, we always hear about in-state recruiting. We just talked to start this podcast about all the great players that have, you know, come through the state of Minnesota, and the Gophers have gotten their share of those guys. You think of, you know, an Amir Coffey and a Daniel Oturu and, you know, a Gabe Kalscher for most of his career and others. I mean, right now the Gophers have, you know, a good assortment of Minnesotans, including Pharrell Payne and Dawson Garcia and others. That said, I've been getting hit up a lot here in the last, I'd say, week or so. The Gophers, of course, have two, I guess I'd call them outstate commitments. So when the Star Tribune releases their all-metro team and it's five kids and not one is committed to Minnesota, but five are all committed to Big Ten institutions, right? I think are they all five, right? Big Ten? Four Big Ten, one Big East, right? I'm trying to think this off the top of my head.
You got Isaiah Johnson, who's going to he's going to Miami.
Yep.
You got Daniel Freitag, Jack Robison, who are both going to Wisconsin. Kazmir Chavis is going to Washington. So there you go. That didn't jump into my head as Big Ten, but
yeah.
Yes, it is.
It is now.
And I am forgetting the other one.
Is it McAndrews?
Oh, he is, and Jackson McAndrew is going to Creighton.
To Creighton. So Big East, ACC, yeah. Big Ten. Anyway, people start hitting me up like, hey, what's going on with the in-state recruiting? People forget because it's the All-Metro team. These two kids aren't on it. But that said, I do want to ask, just to get, you know, your thoughts on, are there some misses there? Were there some, was there just not interest? Kind of how does that unfold? And I know they only had two scholarships to give up, you know, through right now, unless things change with the portal.
No, I mean, there's only when you have two to give and you pick your positions. So you pick your point guard. So in Minnesota, you have Kazmir Chavis, Daniel Freitag, Isaac Azuma. They picked Azuma as their fit. So you're not going to get the other two. You pick the one point guard you want. They got the highest rated one. The guy who I would consider the best one. So you're not going to take the other two because they're not going to go to the same place another guy's going. So you pick one. And then they initially went after Jackson McAndrew, and, you know, they had him on campus a couple times. They connected with him. Obviously, that they didn't feel they were going to get him, because you wouldn't walk away from a guy that's that talented unless you don't believe you can get him, or you got some information that makes you believe that they weren't going to get him, which they obviously did. So then they moved on to the next guy, which was Grayson Grove. Because both of those guys, they're going to probably play the four at the next level. You know, there was also Isaiah Johnson. Isaiah Johnson is kind of a combo forward because he will play some three. Well, you just got Caden Betts, who is quite similar to that. You know, you got Josh Ola-Joseph, who also is kind of the combo forward. So you didn't quite need that position. And, like, also, having said that, that's the same position that Jack Robison plays.
Right.
But then as time had gone on, they started recruiting Jack right away. But then you got Josh Ola-Joseph, you got Caden Betts. So there was the need wasn't there as much anymore as well. So
yeah,
you can't have everybody.
That's it.
Two scholarships.
That's been one of my pet peeves over the course of time in general about this is you can't offer everybody, and it's always easier to see something from hindsight. The one that gets me often is the kids, and God bless them, they go to a North Dakota State, a Northern Iowa, a Northern Illinois, and then they light it up, and then everyone's yelling at the Gopher coaches for, well, why'd you miss that? And I'm like, well, every team in the Big Ten missed that. Right. I mean, it's not that easy. And then what irritates me sometimes is then the AAU coaches or the high school coaches get irritated with the Gophers. And I'm like, well, you're sending kids to Duke. Krzyzewski comes here three times every 10 years. Why are you sending kids there? Right. I mean, anyway, I didn't mean to get off the sidetrack, but that it's one of my pet peeves here.
But it's a great sidetrack. And I want to take my train down that track, too,
yeah.
Because like the AAU coaches, we have good AAU coaches in Minnesota. They don't see it both ways. Like, they see it as, well, you know, the blue blood came. What can you do?
Yeah.
But then, like, they do want you to take everybody else. And, like, we just talked about they went to North Dakota State. Why didn't you recruit them? Wisconsin deals with that heavily. And they've heavily dealt with it this year with Marcus Domask. Why didn't you recruit Marcus Domask? You know, and, like, they're getting that. And it happens everywhere.
No doubt.
You know, like, Fran McCaffrey gets it. Fran McCaffrey gets damn near everybody from Iowa, and he still gets blamed for this and that. It happens everywhere.
Yeah, it's a little bit nuts. That said, I do want to – I know you have your finger on the pulse of it. Certainly part of the reason that Ben Johnson was hired here by Mark Coyle, the Gopher Athletic Director, was recruiting, local connections, people like Ben. He's likable. How have you been able to get a feel for how not only the AAU coaches here in the state, but also the high school coaches here in the state, how has Ben been received and what's your impression now as we're hitting toward the end here of year three?
There's definitely a big appreciation at the high school level. Like I think a lot of the high school coaches really appreciate their efforts to get out and talk to the teams, get out to see them. Like one of the things Dave Thorson did right away, he was going to high school open gyms that didn't even have, you know, he was going everywhere just to be around, you know, introduce himself to some people, be around other places. He went to a couple open gyms just to do that because, you know what, those teams in the future, they might have kids that they want to take. So he was getting around to do that. I think they've been really well received by the high school coaches. At the AAU level, I believe it's been well received. I think there's maybe a group or two that are a little salty, but I don't think you could probably offer their entire starting lineup and they'll be salty.
Yeah.
But for the most part, most of the AAU programs, I think, you know, they've been well received. You know, you look at Minnesota Heat, for example. Well, Ben Johnson's had a couple Minnesota Heat kids. Minnesota Select, you have Pharrell Payne out there. Division One D1 Minnesota with your Dawson Garcia, and you have Josh Ola-Joseph. You know, that connection's been good there as well. So overall, it's been a positive. And the really thing I really like that you really want to note, like Dave Thorson and Ben Johnson do a good job of getting to the games when these kids are young, those AAU games. They're at the Howard Polio games, they're at the Grassroots Sizzle games, they're at the D1 Minnesota games, but they were also at Minnesota Select. They're also watching Minnesota Heat. Like those are important things that have laid a groundwork.
And as the Gophers have had some success here in year three into the NIT, and again, as I mentioned, I'll get your feeling on that game the other night at Butler and look ahead to Indiana State. But do you think that also helps as the groundwork continues? This is a good, in my opinion, a good progressive step in building a program and showing some proof that this is getting to be a solid program here and has a future.
Well, Mike, I was brought up kind of watching Coach Haskins, and I was like Sam Jacobson, first cousin, our moms are sisters. Our my aunt passed away, Sharon, recently. So it's still new to me. So I said, they are sisters. They still are sisters forever. You go through that. Coach Haskins was involved in our lives right away. Then I was a manager for 4 years. And the three of those years was with Coach Haskins. So everything that Coach Haskins, like his path with all the basketball stuff, that's how I learned. And that's how I believe a lot of things should be. Well, Coach Haskins, everything was about, you know, this like laying a foundation, and guys have to grow as men through the teachings and through everything. So I really like the way Ben, I would probably do it the exact same way Ben was doing it. Now, walking into a situation and losing almost your entire team in this new transfer portal era, yeah, that's not something Coach Haskins had to deal with. But so they're unfortunately, it probably set them back a year because they didn't have much of a chance to build right away because they had to go plug holes. Well, it's one thing to plug, three or four holes. It's another thing to plug 10.
Yeah.
So, but I do like they got to the high school talent. They laid the foundation with class. You know, they're stacking classes. You know, that first class that they got with Pharrell, Braden, Josh. And then you add the next one with Cam and Betts. And then you add this next one with Grove and Azuma. You're stacking classes and you're bringing in talent. And like that's the way you have to do it. You have to if you're going to be consistent. I think that the University of Minnesota, I don't think you can just bring someone in here that brings 10 transfers in and hope that it magically gets the chemistry, because that's just a one-shot deal. Here, this program's been unfortunately down for a while. When you look at the whole, I mean, it's come on, 6 NCAA tournaments in 25 years here, like. So you have this. It has to be a slow build. And if you look at the Coach Haskins, I know this is a long way to get there, but I'm getting there.
Yeah.
Like you look at Coach Haskins, his first couple of years, they did not win many games. And even his third year, they needed a late run in the season to get to the NCAA tournament. Like they're not perfect parallels, but you kind of see that with what Ben Johnson has doing right now with what Coach Haskins did before. Now, the next thing is, Coach Haskins didn't have people throwing money at Willie Burton and throwing money at Richard Coffey and throwing money at Jim Schickenjansky and Melvin Newburn, everybody, Kevin Lynch. Like, you know, hopefully all those guys can be around and we're good to go.
Yeah, that's the next question, right, is to try to keep this core group, especially. Look, you're probably going to lose a couple, right? That's the new age. You got a 13 scholarship roster. One, you'll have guys, you know, graduating and matriculating on. In this case, you know, they have the two spots. They're full. And now will they lose some people? Probably. But you're right. The basic core, that's the key, right? That I'm going to say, five or six guys are very important to try to bring back to this thing for next year.
Let's say the six and then Mr. Fox.
Yeah, right on.
Mr. Parker Fox, all the fans are just clamoring for him to return. Like, so we can go six, we can go seven, but yeah. But you also, you know, those pieces need to be back because right now that's the core foundation of the rotation. And there's other guys that, you know, at the end of the bench, they're going to be important as well, but they have to grow into those spots. You know, right now with this transfer portal era, it's wild. Like, I do a lot of chatting with coaches and everything, and I was hearing about, you know, some transfer talk, and I said, well, isn't that tampering? And the person was describing it to me, and he goes, He said, RJ, there is no more tampering. Like, there's no tampering right now. The NCAA has no rules with it. So, like, it's an open free-for-all to talk to whomever, whenever.
Yeah.
So, you just – right now, you just hope that you could keep the core together. You hope that the fans are getting that NIL so they can do that. And then maybe if they lose somebody, be able to plug a hole right away with whatever transfer money that they have to give. These guys, they're mindful of what's going on. They know, you know, who they could probably get back, who they might lose. And I'll tell you what, if somebody sends a Bucky Irving package, what can you do? What can the kids do? They almost have to run to it. But as long as it's close to be competitive, I think they can get most of their core back.
Yeah, and I think this group likes each other. And that's the way at Minnesota. You mentioned the foundation and you build pieces, and that's how you're going to win. Ben's in a little bit, in my opinion, in a tricky spot because he's got every spot filled. So it's not like he can go recruit the portal openly and say, I've got a spot for you. But in a week and a half, what happens if four kids all of a sudden are gone and then the kids that you really liked are already committed elsewhere? Now you're, there's nothing you can do about it. Maybe there'll be a year down the road where it's the flipped and he can go offer six kids right off the bat because he's got availability and everything else. So it should be, I don't think I'll call it fun. I know it'll be nerve wracking for Gopher fans. I hope they don't panic if somebody leaves. I hope they get excited if somebody stays. I hope they help with Dinkytown athletes because that's the new reality. And that's the world we live in right now.
Definitely. I mean, the Dinkytown athletes is where that's where you're going to keep a lot of your players. Like, as long as that is there, then Ben Johnson and his staff can, you know, keep their core and you can move forward. If it's not there, you're going to have trouble. You might lose some of that. And people have been leaving the University of Minnesota. I had at one point about 15 years ago, I sat down and I looked through the rosters and I stopped in like 1987. And I was like, wow, somebody has left the program. A scholarship player has left the program every year since 1987 that I looked through. And I was, and obviously that's definitely continuing these days. And yeah, we have to expect someone's transferring. It's just how many are going to transfer and who is it going to be? And what is the extent and who's going to put their name in the NBA draft and what are they going to hear? You know, you got that situation as well.
Yeah, that's a scary spot too. I mean, great for the kids, but if you're building a program, you go out and pour your heart and soul into, say, like a, you know, a freshman like Cam Christie, and you knew he was going to be good, and then all of a sudden, you know, he explodes and he's great, and you hope to have him back for a second year because you poured all those resources into getting him, and maybe all of a sudden that won't be the case. We'll see. I think he'd be good to come back. I'm not an evaluator, but like you say, if the NBA folks say, look, you might be a first round pick, that's also hard to say no to.
And it's a downdraft. It's a really poor NBA draft, but that doesn't change the contracts. Contracts in those spots are there. So if he can get one, I mean, what can you say no to that? But in my personal opinion, like, you don't want to rag on a kid here because, like, even if they're getting paid right now, they're still kids. So I you don't want to rag because Cameron Christie had an outstanding season. And I personally believe he should have gotten been Big Ten Freshman of the Year. Now, I cover the Gophers, so it's a little bit, you know, it's a little bit me saying that is, you know, is it truthful? Whatever. I felt he did more for his team than Owen Freeman did. Now, on the flip side, the Indiana fella, well, he crushed the Gophers twice.
Yeah.
Now, whenever time to watch him, he wasn't as good.
But it was just his last, I guess, about 10 games, he would have won it. But we had to throw the first 20 games where he was just okay in. Talking about Mbako, I believe is his name, from Indiana. And he probably is going to enter the draft, I would think. As far as Christie, who knows? But, yeah, it's you think he should come back?
I do, because just defensively he's not there yet. Yeah. And there also needs to be a little more consistency, a little more core strength, a little more game learning. I mean, he's 19 years old and this is the college game. Like, of course there's more game. Like, who's 19 years old and gets the game already at this level? They don't. So I think there's just different pieces that need to be built up. And I think next year, as long as those pieces are built up and he shoots the ball like he pretty much has been, I think he could really be he could be a first round pick with the size that he has and the touch that he has and the feel that he has. Just needs more core strength, needs to get better defensively. And if those things happen, you have a pick right there.
Yeah, I agree. I think he right now, the one, I think the Big Ten had good guards and old guards. You look at Boo Booey, you look at Tony Perkins, you look at, I don't know who else. I mean, I guess TJ Shannon, Terrence Shannon, I'd call him a guard. He's not typical point guard, but he's a downhill player. So all those guys are leaving. So I think you look at it, Cam Christie's going to go from maybe the 8th to 10th best guard in the league, maybe the 12th best guard, the 6th best, you know, 2, whatever, to next year he could be a 20-point-a-night guy and the best or second best guard in the league. And so you come back, you can elevate your status for sure.
There's no question. When you look at the all Big Ten team, a lot of those guys are moving out, especially, like you said, the guards, you know. Like, he's going to slide right up that list. What's crazy when you think about it, like, if Dawson Garcia comes back and he returns, that's the first team all Big Ten player right away. And how much further behind is Cam Christie going to be? Probably in the second team area. I mean, is it that out of question to see Elijah Hawkins on like the third team preseason all Big Ten? No, it's not. Like, I know people were listening to Tom Izzo and thinking he was bonkers, but with what he said. But when you truly think about it, the guys that got all Big Ten, and that didn't even include Pharrell Payne in some way, shape, or form, the guys that got all Big Ten, they're all back.
Yep.
And most of those teams can't say that.
Right.
So that's why people think the Gophers have a chance to have a special season next year. Now, when I'm saying special, I mean they can make a nice Sweet 16 run.
Yeah, for sure. Now, the question, of course, is what's Illinois' payroll, what's Indiana's payroll, and who are they going to get between now and the opening tip next week and next year? And, you know, they're all of a sudden they could, you know, you go find another Terrence Shannon and it becomes an issue. But I agree. I think if they can keep this core group. All right, real quickly, I've already kept you longer than I promised, but you're giving us such good stuff. I got to ask you about the Butler game the other night. I despise those that say they shouldn't have played in the NIT because it's a meaningless tournament. Particularly with this team situation, I thought it was absolutely the right thing to do to play. And now after how that game turned out Tuesday, there's nothing that anyone can tell me that says that that wasn't the great decision, because think of the experience that group got and the things that they went through to get that win, which I think can pay dividends in the long run.
Oh, I definitely do. And I watched that game. One, I think stacking wins, any type of wins, is huge for this team as they build. And I think saying if they could beat Indiana State on Sunday and saying that they have 20 wins, I think that's huge for the program. But what I really love was that I was watching all the players just to see, you know, is there a spot where they're like, man, I don't want to make this. I don't want to do this cover down, man. I don't want to fight over this screen. Yeah. And those guys were all fighting the whole, they wanted to be there. Like those guys were getting after it. Dawson Garcia looked fantastic.
He did.
Like, these are guys that wanted to perform and they wanted to perform with their team. And that was a great sign. And the one bad sign, you know, you've heard Dave Thorson and Ben Johnson talk about getting a kill. And for those that don't know, that's three defensive stops in a row. And in the halftime, I kept thinking, okay, let's see how many they can get, because they really need one. They didn't get one the whole second half, but they did get two stops late with scores in there just to get ahead. And Braden Carrington made a really nice defensive play at the end there, and Parker Fox made a really nice defensive play at the spot before that too. Those are plays that teams that want to be there make. So it's a good sign, and I hope we see another fun effort against Indiana State.
Yeah, and that Indiana State team, man, they can score points fast. They were down 14 to SMU in the second half. I didn't pay the $12 to watch it on ESPN Plus. I don't subscribe, so I was following it kind of just online. And 2 minutes later, they're up two. I'm like, how did that happen? They scored 10 points in 50 seconds, I think. So they can score, it looks like.
They can. I know I don't have a great Indiana State basketball mind. I haven't, like, once I dig in and look at the video and make my preview, then I have a better feel. But I know this: everybody wants to see the goggles. Everybody wants to see Robert Avila. I don't remember if it's Robert or Roberto Avila. I can't remember. I covered him in 2021. They were at our Prep Hoops tournament, and like, I loved watching him play. And like, I'm really looking forward to see how the Gophers defend him, because like, this is a guy that I actually thought was going to be better than people thought. Like, he played with that same team at Ty Rogers, who's been great for Illinois, A.G. Casey, who's not been great for Miami and is in the portal. And then the Northwestern guy whose name is escaping me right now was also on that team. That team was stacked with players, and Avila was kind of off to the side, but really he's been the star of that group.
Yeah.
Although some would probably say Ty Rogers might be too, but no, I'm really looking forward to seeing what he does and what that fast paced team does and how the Gophers can defend it. And my very limited time in watching them play, like some highlights, some video highlights, like I do kind of feel like the matchup is a little bit better for Minnesota in this situation than some others, because so many of these teams they've played have had threes that have crushed Minnesota. When I mean threes, I mean small forwards that have crushed the Gophers. And I think spot by spot, I kind of like Minnesota's matchups better here from the initial stuff I've looked at. And I think the Gophers are going to be able to score, and they have the chance to be able to defend this team reasonably.
Well, it's all great experience for this group, particularly if they all can come back. Another win would be outstanding for sure. Ryan, I know it's a busy time for you. State tournament championship Saturday tomorrow. I appreciate you squeezing us in for the Go Gopher podcast. Just outstanding insight. I know our Gopher fans appreciate all of it and appreciate your hard work. How can people find your stuff every day of the week?
Oh boy, here we go. Twitter is probably the hub where I put everything, because all the links to the stories go. So it's at Ryan James MN. Say it again, at Ryan James MN. But then I work for Gopher Illustrated. I'm the, you know, me and Ryan Burns are the publishers for Gopher Illustrated. I do all my Gopher basketball chatter and talk there. I work for Prep Network. I get the teams for all our 60 boys events. Plus, I write three stories a day on that, which is you know, I'm covering that. And I also work for The Breakdown. I help put their events together. I help run their social media. And I also help write a book with the wonderful Tim Colomain every year.
All right, man. It's awesome. Always great to catch up with you at Williams Arena. Great to catch up with you here on the podcast. And we'll be in touch soon, sir.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Episode 113, The Great Ryan James. My thanks to Ryan James with Prep Hoops and Gopher Illustrated for joining me on this week's Go Gopher podcast. What great insight into the basketball world. Episode 113 is presented by Sunbelt Business Advisors and True North Mergers and Acquisitions. If you're buying or selling a business, visit sunbeltminnesota.com or tnma.com. We're also partnered with Affinity Plus Federal Credit Union, a locally member-owned full-service financial invested in you. You can learn more at affinityplus.org/gogophers. Again, I'd invite you to listen to past podcasts, and right now, please click the subscribe button to the Go Gopher podcast. It's free to subscribe and free to listen at any time. And please share the link to the podcast with others so they can subscribe and listen as well. We'll talk again next week.